This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Thank you, Edith. Thank you very much. ENN tonight is sponsored by the All-American Ford Auto Group. Shop the largest and best Ford group in the Northeast at allamericanford.net. All-American Ford has the largest selection and best prices with locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant, New Jersey. We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
And then we'll say good evening to Don. Beautiful. Well, we will know in just a few minutes who the newest inductees to the Baseball Hall of Fame will be. We're moments away. But right now, I'll tell you that police are investigating a possible battery at the home of Antonio Brown in Hollywood, Florida. A police spokesman told ESPN that Brown's a suspect in an incident, but has not been arrested or charged. They said the case does not involve a domestic dispute. They described the scene as active. Brown's home is located in a gated community in Hollywood. This is all originally reported by TMZ Sports, shockingly.
It's not going to end well. I mean, there have to be people that care about him. Drew Rosenhaus dropped him as a client until he gets help. He's got to have family and friends, you would think, that have to step in and go, something's up here. People do not act like this when they're right in the head, so He looks like he's looking for trouble. He squandered every last opportunity. And now, you know, police presence at his house a couple of times in the last couple of weeks, it just doesn't seem like it will end well.
Damian Lillard hit the 60-point mark for the second time this season in a 129-124 OT win against the Warriors. Now, this is the only time anyone's ever had this many 60-point games in a season, with the exception of Wilt Chamberlain, who did it twice, in 1962, 63, and in 1961, 62. How many 60-point games do you think Wilt Chamberlain hit in 62, 63, and 61, 62? Any guesses? You can give me the total between the two seasons, or a guess for each season if you like. Go ahead, Don. Mike. Sorry?
How about putting your mic on?
My mic is on. Mic was on.
Well,
it was an issue.
Okay. RJ's taking fault for that. So what were you saying?
I was going to say a dozen total.
A dozen total?
I'd say 51 total.
Wow. Well, it's closer to Don, but Michael was kind of had the right frame of mind. 9 in 62-63. And 15 and 61, 62.
He was good.
He was good at the basketball. But so was Damian Lillard.
He could really score.
Well, the basketball. That's why they added the term the basketball. You know how you get annoyed when people say, oh, he's good at scoring the basketball?
Right.
Because of Chamberlain and all the scoring that he did, you have to be specific about what you're talking
about.
But
again, he's a once-in-a-lifetime player in both of those things, so it should just be scoring.
It's a good
scoring
point.
The basketball is ridiculous and redundant and makes you look dumb.
He should be getting more points because he's shooting like 10 feet from the arc. I mean, it's ridiculous. You see some of the shots that, yes, we're just showing the shots from yesterday. He was almost half court.
He really is a tremendous player. The Celtics' Jaylen Brown says his dunk over LeBron James yesterday in the 139-107 win for the Celtics. He said, I ain't going to lie, it was pretty nice, it was pretty awesome, referring to what he considered to be a, quote, bucket list moment for himself dunking on LeBron James. Do you remember the first time you dunked on LeBron James?
No, I don't.
Let's hear from Jaylen Brown and what the experience was like, because we'll probably never get to experience it ourselves.
Brad Stevens going with his starting
unit. This isn't hearing from him. Let's hear the actual dunk.
Brad Stevens going with his starting unit. Tatum Brown toss up. Brown with 11 points. Frank Vogel takes a timeout. 81-63. Boston.
This is how you attack a shot blocker. Hello.
No steppage. And I got to tell you, Mar's voice still sounds like it's a Mage basketball game.
Big moment voice.
Kenny's better.
Oh, what is wrong with you?
You got to stop.
I mean, all due respect to Kenny, who's tremendous. He's not Marv.
Yeah, but you're embarrassing yourself when you say it.
Kenny's birthday's coming up.
Yep, February 2nd.
Yeah, same as mine.
You know what he's going to do to celebrate?
No.
Go call a random sporting event somewhere.
Some tiddlywinks tournament?
Yeah. LeBron James was not thrilled with the loss to the Celtics, but he was also not thrilled at one of his son's, Bronny's, games. Big game in Springfield, Massachusetts. And LeBron's team not only lost, but during the game, Bronny, who was waiting to inbound the ball from the sideline, had some debris thrown at him from the crowd.
What kind of lowlife will do that to a kid? Because he's LeBron's son?
The referee immediately stopped the contest. LeBron called it disrespectful, but also said that him and his family expected and were built for things like this. So it is what it is. But I get hating on LeBron for whatever reason. People choose to hate him for some reason. But why his teenage son? Is he, a freshman?
I believe so. He's going to run into it. Because not only is his father an athlete, his father is one of the greatest athletes of all time. He's always going to be compared to him. And they'll shout the things they think about the dad to the son. It's cowardice. If you want to see the worst in people, go to high school games of any sport. The way parents act, the way parents act toward other kids, you'll see the worst in human nature.
And also, you remember LeBron was maybe the most watched high school basketball player of all time.
Mm-hmm.
His son is 10 times as watched. LeBron wasn't being watched obsessively nationally as a freshman.
No.
It was junior and senior year.
Yep.
Bronny is going to experience something no other player's ever experienced in history. We never seen this before.
So Bronny has to play four more years.
Four.
He has to play 1 year in college.
So, yeah.
So I think LeBron will still be playing.
That's going to be it's going to feel like a long time at the end, though.
I think he'll still be great at 39.
He's so good right now, it's ridiculous.
Yep.
Mike D'Antoni says it's really starting to pour on the Rockets. They blew a 15-point lead in the fourth quarter and fell to the Thunder 112-107 for their fourth straight loss. D'Antoni said, "When it rains, it pours, and it's pouring. We can choose to fight back, to get up. That's a choice. It's our choice. You can choose to not listen to the noise. You can choose to look at yourself and do better. I'll do the same, and if everybody does the same, we're fine." This is a loaded team that should be able to compete now that the Warriors have been broken up. You'd think they'd be able to hang and at least maybe have a chance to play in the conference finals. I know everyone is already expecting it'll be the Clippers and the Lakers, but there's no reason the Rockets shouldn't be in that conversation, but it just doesn't seem to be meshing completely.
Well, I mean, they change things around a lot. You know, the Westbrook and Harden are different than Paul and Harden. Westbrook, you know, wants to score and he also can dish it off, but I don't know if it's as much of a natural fit as a natural point guard like Paul with Harden.
Well, Russell Westbrook generally has the ball in his hands much more when
right.
He's comfortable than Chris Paul does.
And Harden likes the ball in his hands.
Yeah, almost.
He does
constantly.
You know, he does the 20 dribbles and then, you know, he hits the 3-pointer.
The Pro Bowl is going to reportedly experiment with an alternative onside kick. So, as in past years, there will be no kickoffs at all in the Pro Bowl. The twist this year is that teams will have two options after scoring. The first is to give the ball back to their opponents, who would start their drive at the 25-yard line. The new second option for the scoring team would serve as a substitute for an onside kick. It would allow it to run an additional play from its own 25-yard line. If the scoring team gains 15 more yards, it would retain possession. If it falls short, their opponents would take over at the dead ball spot. Yay or nay?
It's yay for a Pro Bowl. I don't think that I'd want to make losing possession that easy. I mean, especially, you know, onside kicks don't work now. It's just a very hard thing to pull off. That anybody could get a 4th and 15, Don.
Pass interference, defensive holding.
Yep.
You know, you wouldn't complete a pass and then you give the ball up. It would make games exciting for sure. You'd hang, right? A team's down by 3 touchdowns. You find a way to hang because it's realistic they can get the ball back.
That's the one thing. It's just so hard.
But it's just
hard.
Too much. The pendulum swings too far.
The other way.
From it being a 2% chance of happening to now what?
30%.
30, 40 maybe even percent the way teams are. And because of the fact that you can have, there are two penalties, a pass interference and a defensive hold.
Then you'd get those.
It would give you the automatic first down. So I think it's too much. I think they have to find a way. A safety issue is the reason why that they changed the rules with the onside kick, but you got to make the percentage higher than what it is now. But you can't go that high. That would be ridiculous.
Dustin Pedroia suffered a significant setback in recovery from his knee surgery, according to the Boston Globe. He's now questionable to be ready for spring training and is mulling his options with his family. He's 36. He's been limited to a total of just 9 combined games over the last 2 seasons since undergoing cartilage restoration surgery on his knee in October 2017. So could be the end of the line for Dustin Pedroia.
Could be, and if the Red Sox really want to think outside the box, make him manager.
Wow, that's interesting.
Ooh.
He's certainly got the personality. I hear they are considering Jason Varitek, and you know, who knows who Chaim Bloom is thinking of, maybe the bench coach from the Tampa Bay Rays, but Dustin Pedroia is absolutely beloved, former MVP, a great, great player. Would he be a good manager? Well, one of these 3 teams is going to take a little bit of a gamble.
So we are still waiting for what feels to be like a really extended intro for the Hall of Fame announcements, no?
Well, they want you to stay tuned to MLB Network.
John Smoltz, I was on Golic and Wingo earlier, and he was asked if Jeter's going to get 100% of the vote.
I think there's a good chance that once they eliminated that no one's ever gone 100%. I always felt like Derek Jeter would push that envelope even further. But, yeah, I think there's a good chance 100% is reached again, and we'll definitely see it again before too long.
Paul O'Neill joined us earlier and talked about how Jeter was supremely confident in himself.
Even, you know, great players go through certain times where, you know, you don't trust, you know, how you feel at the plate or your abilities to hit one pitcher or whatever. And I never felt that about him. And I've always told this story about, you know, there are days during the season where you're, you know, you're 0-4, 0-5, and you're just like in the back of your mind, you're saying, you know, I'll just get him tomorrow. And G was always like wanting that extra bat. He could be 0-5 and hope we get a rally so he gets that extra bat because he had that much confidence in himself that, you know, he was going to succeed.
And the perfect timing as Tim Mead, the president of the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum, has stepped to the podium. And we will find out who the 2020 inductees will be to the Baseball Hall of Fame.
I guess we're not allowed to carry this live, right, Andrew? Don't know. Anyway, just a reminder, after our show on Yes, they're going to have a special hot stove show about Jeter's Hall of Fame induction or selection, and Jeter will be on the show live.
Really?
So if you want to, and we're trying to get Derek for tomorrow.
Larry
so,
Walker.
Larry Walker made it in his last year of eligibility. So there was always a bias against Walker because they felt that his numbers were Coors Field inflated, but he was a heck of a player. So he gets in on his 10th and final year of eligibility. He is a He's the first one announced.
I thought Keith Olbermann had a great point on Twitter. Like 69% of his at-bats for Larry Walker came outside of Coors Field. And right. By the way, altitude is not illegal. So
right.
You shouldn't That's punish
illegal
these guys for playing in Denver. And he played Montreal and St. Louis,
His
too.
Numbers on the road were not bad numbers. They were really good numbers. So I think that's a terrible way to look at it.
I look forward to a Fugazi National celebration for Larry Walker.
Why?
Because he's technically part of the organization, but it's ridiculous.
Looks like Larry.
I think they have enough to celebrate without.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Larry Walker got 76.6% of the votes.
Well, just in.
Just in. I'm sure Ariel Helwani. And
he got in by 6
very
votes.
Very happy. Everyone from Montreal thrilled right now. Eating pastrami and bagels.
Is that
and
what
celebrating.
They eat in Montreal?
The meats are delicious.
Yeah. Smoked meat is very big up there.
Yeah, everyone's eating smoked meat.
I'm not a big smoked meat guy.
If you had it up there, you'd change your mind.
You're missing out. And same if you had my Katz's platter on Sunday. It was tremendous.
Let's see who else is getting in.
I'm seeing a graphic, and I'm seeing
Derek
a man named Derek Jeter. He made it. He made it.
Now, whether or not he's unanimous, he did make it. So it's just those two. So Larry Walker got in and Jeter. So that means that I would assume Schilling's not in. Bonds isn't in. Clemens isn't in because the guy that was first got in by 6 votes, and then Jeter, we'll see if it is, in fact, unanimous.
But how soon do they make you wait before they tell you? Just a couple seconds?
Should be a couple of seconds, but obviously getting in, that was never in doubt.
Yeah, we just need the totals on the guys that didn't get in, and did they get more than the year before, and how closer are they getting? Still haven't seen anything as far as the numbers are concerned.
Andrew is waiting patiently. He's got sources in Cooperstown ready to tell him whether or not it was
unanimous. He's on speakerphone with people.
Tim Meade, the head of the Hall of Fame.
Wearing a blue shirt, blue tie.
Used to be
99.7.
Whoa! Didn't so get every vote.
That's one. It's one vote.
Is that one vote?
My guess is that's one vote.
Wow. I wonder who the nozzle was who didn't choose him.
99.7. I'd be shocked if that's more than one. Because how many people were voting? Like 430 or something?
Something like 450 around.
That's
that.
According yeah. to Peter Boddy that tweeted that out. So
99.7.
Wow. You know what that reminds me of?
What?
A drop of you saying the number, but I didn't find it.
99. Yeah. 99, baby. 99, baby.
So this guy, if they ever...
Or gal.
Or gal who reveals themselves, they're going to get their 15 minutes, right? They're going to be, if they want,
that's
going to
be an unpleasant 15 minutes.
And it'll probably be, I was trying to get so-and-so in, and I knew Jeter was going to get in. There's no way you can logically tell me Jeter doesn't deserve to go to the Hall of Fame.
Right.
So...
All right, so let me ask you. Yeah. This is a tough question. Mariano, a great teammate, great friend of Derek. Is he happy that he's the only 100%er?
No, he's just way too good a guy.
Yeah.
Almost uncomfortably so.
Really? Interesting.
Right, Peter? You can. I don't think most celebrates that.
No, not at all. I bet he's disappointed.
So, again, if you want more on the Hall of Fame and the selections, and if you want to hear from Derek Jeter live, that will be on the Hot Stove Show on Yes, which will be on at 6:30. Also at 6:30 is the Ranger pregame show with Donnie and Rangers and the Islanders. What else do you have on ENN?
Peter Boddy also says Clemens 61%, Bonds 60.7.
Wow, so Clemens passed Bonds this year. I'm telling you, there's a very dedicated block of voters. Curt Schilling got 70%. Clemens 61, as Don said. Bonds 60.7. Omar Vizquel 52.6. Scott Rolen 35.3. Billy Wagner 31.7. You need 75% to get in.
You got to figure Schilling is going to go, right? I mean, you get to 70%. He only needs a couple of more votes, right?
He does, but he's a polarizing guy. I think people have dug in on him.
But he did. How many did he have last time?
He came close last time too.
If he's getting more, then why couldn't you get a few more? If he doesn't say or do anything stupid,
and how up was Bonds from last year? Do we know?
I don't know. I don't think he's up a lot. I think he might be down a little bit. And also, when I say polarizing, yeah, it does mean something because there's the character issue that's in the voting laws, so you can actually say that, and it's not about his political affiliation. He has said some really objectionable things on social media, not just about politics. So it bothers people. He said something about lynching journalists as well. So I think he's paying the price for that. I really do. Because he was a great player. He was one of the great big game pitchers of all time. Jeter got, you were right, Peter, 396 votes out of 397.
Yeah.
I can't wait to find out who didn't vote.
Wow.
Now, they don't have to come forward, right?
Not this year. But I think,
what does that mean, not this year?
I think next year every vote has to be made public, I think.
Do you think we will find out, though? Will there be a whistleblower?
I would say we'd find out. I mean, I would hope that the person who did it isn't gutless and would be able to defend the vote or non-vote. That would be only fair. And I don't think that the ballot was so jam-packed that you had to leave him off to give somebody else a vote. You could get your 10 votes in there without giving up the vote on Jeter.
Well, there you have it. Derek Jeter, though, is officially... or will be officially a Major League Hall of Famer.
All right, so that's it for ENN. That's it for the show. We'll break this down more tomorrow, talk to more people, hopefully get Derek on the air as well. Islanders and the Rangers coming up, so you definitely want to stay tuned for that on 98.7 ESPN with Don on the pregame show. And then, yes, we'll continue with coverage on their Hot Stove. And you'll hear from Derek Jeter live. That's coming up on Yes. In the words of Billy Joel, life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. I'm afraid it's time for goodbye again. See everybody. Have a great night.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.